Radha Krishna seva pavo eya vila.
Sri Lalita Madhava, Act 9, Looking at Pictures. Navabrinda enters. Navabrinda speaks, looks ahead, and says with joy, purifying the waters of the streams and lakes, expertly revealing the sweetness of the moon, and filling the regal swans with happiness, Sarat, the goddess of autumn, who is like goddess Bhakti Devi herself, has now come before us. Note: if the word Bhuvana is interpreted to mean the world, Vidu to mean Lord Krishna, and Paramahansa to mean the swan-like devotees, the verse may be interpreted in the following way. Purifying the world, expertly revealing the sweetness of Lord Krishna, and filling the swan-like devotees with happiness, Goddess Bhakti Devi appearing as the autumn season has now come before us. Sarat enters and says, Friend, Navabrinda, where have you been? Navabrinda replies, Goddess Sarat, I went to my master. Sarat asks, Why? Navabrinda replies, To carry out the order of Lord Krishna. Sarat asks, What was his order? Navabrinda replies, To build 16,000 palaces on Mount Raivata. Sarat asks, What is the reason for that? Navabrinda replies, On the pretext of an invented quarrel, Narakasura, the powerful son of the earth goddess Bhumidevi, kidnapped 16,108 lotus-eyed girls from the village of Vrindavan. Lord Krishna, the master of all transcendental pastimes, then killed that uncivilized demon who had troubled the entire universe. In this way, the Lord rescued those girls whose eyes were all filled with tears. Sarat, struck with wonder, asks, Are these girls the gopis of Gokula? Navabrinda replies, How can there be any doubt? Even a small shrub of the faint reflection of devotion to Krishna is never without fruit. What then of the unprecedented festival of bliss that is the immortal tree of the gopis' love? Sarat asks, Then why did we hear that these girls are the daughter of various kings? Navabrinda replies, Narakasura became enchanted by the charming beauty of these girls. To deceive the goddess named Kamadevi, he spread a false rumor that these girls were all daughters of kings, and that they were going to be given in marriage to the eligible bachelors among the demons. Sarat says, That is true. Kamadevi wanted to take all the gopis to Dwarka City. Navabrinda says, Then angry goddess Kamadevi sent Maharaj Indra to Dwarka. Indra entered Dwarka and asked the Lord to kill Narakasura. Sarat says, All the girls of Gokula have met in this place. Only four other girls headed by Padma remain. Note, the four girls are Padma, Saibya, Bhadra, and Sham. Navabrinda says, Honest one, these four girls have already come. Sarat asks, How did they come? Navabrinda replies, Krishna, the best of the gopas, playfully subdued seven powerful bulls in a single moment, and then married Maharaj Nagdajita's daughter, Padma, who was Mitravinda, whose eyes were plunged in an ocean of love for him. Saibya was overcome with the intense thirst that was her love, and Bhadra was stricken with poison from the snake of her desire to enjoy amorous pastimes with Krishna. Meeting them with the nectar of his smiling glance, Krishna abducted them both from the Swayamvara Ranga. Standing at the base of the lofty pillar and gazing at the reflection in water of a fish moving in a circle, even without directly seeing the fish, Krishna easily cut it apart with a single arrow and attained King Macha's daughter Shyama as his bride. Sarat joyfully says, By the kindness of fate, I will again see the happiness of Gokula. Navabrinda says, Friend, now please decorate Vrindavan forest with the beauty of spring. Look, Krishna and Radha are coming here. Sarat asks, How did Krishna get Queen Rukmini to allow him to come here? Naravinda replies, learning that Queen Rukmini was for that moment not attended by Madhavi, Krishna approached her, pleased her with many charming pastimes, and when a smile blossomed on her shining face, said, "The demigod Brahma has invited me to visit Satchaloka. My queen, I wish to go there. Please give me your permission." Sarat says, "Friend, this is a mistake, a mistake." Navavrinda asks, "What is the mistake?" Sarat replies, "Madhavi sent the kinari named Sukanti, who is a disciple of Devarshi Narada, to bring the box of ornaments to Radha." Note, Sarat fears Sukanti will see Krishna's secret rendezvous with Radha and later inform Madhavi of it. Navavrinda says, "Don't worry. This girl is full of love for Satyabhama. Note, because she is affectionate to Radha, Sukanti will keep the secret of Radha's rendezvous with Krishna. She will not reveal it to Madhavi." Sarat says, "Then I can trust her. I will go now." And she exits. Engaged in pleasing Radha, Krishna enters. Krishna says, "O beautiful one, your bimba fruit lips have eclipsed the sweetness of nectar. Your face is like a fragrant lotus flower. The sweet sound of your voice has crushed the pride of the cuckoos. Your limbs are cooling as sandalwood. You are the wealthy owner of a great treasure house of transcendental beauty. O Radha, when I approach you, all my senses become filled with bliss." Looking in all directions, he says, "Among these splendid white lotus flowers, a great beauty has come. In the darkness of night, which is the enemy of the devotees, defeat has appeared. Among the small stars, fading has come. I think that the moon, which is Shiva's regal crown, must now be rising on the eastern horizon." Navavrinda approaches and says, "Look, free from any tinge of redness, gradually removing the darkness of the world and spreading its nectar shining to the farthest corner, the splendid, expert Vaishnava moon enters the pathway of the sky." Note, if the word tamaha is interpreted to mean the darkness of ignorance, viragaha to mean free from all material desires, kalanidhi to mean expert, vishuddha to mean pure, ruchim to mean attraction, amrita to mean impersonal liberation, and Vishnupada to mean the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, then the verse may be interpreted in the following way. Look, free from any tinge of material desire, gradually removing the darkness of ignorance in the material world, and throwing far away the desire for impersonal liberation, a pure, expert Vaishnava enters the path to the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. Krishna says, "Grieving in separation from his beloved, this exalted Chakravaka bird calls out, 'O my beloved Kokavati, O friend Kastuba Jewel, spread your rays of light so that he may meet his beloved.'" Note, male and female Chakravaka birds remain together during the day and separate at nightfall. They spend the night apart and meet again at sunrise. Lord Krishna here asks the Kastuba Jewel to spread its light so the Chakravaka bird will think that the sun has risen and again be able to meet his beloved. With curiosity, Radha looks. Krishna says, "Look, look! With its effulgence bright as the midday sun, the Kastuba Jewel licks up the flood of darkness on the Yamuna's farther shore. Even though it is night, the male Chakravaka bird thinks it is day. Overcome with deep yearnings of love, he meets his beloved." Carrying the box of ornaments in her hand, Sukanti enters. Sukanti says, "Oh, how fortunate! Here is the Lord enjoying pastimes with Satyabhama. I will hide among these vines and watch," and she does that. Navavrinda says, "O girl whose teeth are beautiful as jasmine flowers, your eyes are made of two Chandrakanta jewels. When the moon of Krishna's face begins to rise, these two jewels melt into tears. How could it be any other way?" Note, the Chandrakanta jewel melts when exposed to the moonlight. Radha's tears are here compared to these jewels because her eyes melt into tears when the moonlike face of Krishna appears before her. Radha, struck with wonder, says, "Why are the Padma lotuses blooming in the moonlight?" Note, Padma lotuses bloom during the day and close their petals at night. Krishna says, The crystal palace before us has become a great pond, and the rubies there have become like lotus flowers that bloom day and night. A voice from behind the scene says, "Intelligent Madhavi has not entered Vrindavan Forest." This statement is interrupted in the middle. Note if the word Madhavi is interpreted to mean spring, and Sumanasvini to mean many beautiful flowers, then the statement means springtime, with its host of beautiful flowers, has now entered Vrindavan Forest. The second meaning is the meaning intended by the speaker, whereas the listeners interpret these words in the first way. Krishna agitated says, "Oh, Queen Rukmini is coming. It is best we flee from her." And they all exit in different directions. Again the voice from behind the scenes. "This spring has bunches of flowers to decorate Krishna, who is himself the supreme decoration of the entire world." Note, these two lines complete the verse begun in text 43. They affirm the interpretation that the verse as a whole refers to spring and not Chandravali's friend Madhavi. Radha and Krishna fled needlessly. Sukanti says, "Alas, alas! The regal Kamarupa parrot in Madhu Mangal's hand has made a disturbance. Satyabhama has entered a cave. I will follow her." She does that. They enter the cave. Radha says, "Someone has seen me. Some girl is coming here." Sukanti says, "My lady, don't worry. It is your maidservant, Sukanti." Radha joyfully says, "Sukanti, I know it is you. I know." Sukanti says, "My lady, why is your clothing wet?" Radha says, "Thinking it was land, I fell in water." Sukanti says, "Madhavi sends these ornaments. Please accept them." Radha says, "Look, there is some kind of picture on this stone wall. Do something so that I can see it." Sukanti says, "I will go outside and find some way for you to see it." Radha says, "And I will remove these wet garments." She takes some dry garments and exits. Sukanti, as she exits, says, "Is that Lord Krishna and Madhu Mangal over there?" Krishna enters. Krishna says, "Where is the troublemaking parrot that was in your hand?" Madhu Mangal says, "It flew into that pomegranate tree." Krishna says, "Come, let us search for my beloved who is more dear to me than life." He feels the breeze. "O saintly breeze, you carry no dust. You come from the south. You carry out the orders of the spring season. O friend, O breeze from the Malaya hills, I beg you, tell me, where is my lotus-eyed Radha?" Note, if the word rajas is interpreted to mean passion, then the first sentence may be interpreted to mean, "O saintly breeze, you are not influenced by the mode of passion." If the word dakshinya charyam is interpreted to mean kindness, then the second sentence may be interpreted to mean, "You are always very kind and gentle." If the word madhavasya is interpreted to mean of Krishna, then the third sentence may be interpreted to mean, "You carry out the orders of Lord Krishna." In this way, the entire verse may be interpreted to mean, "O saintly breeze, you are not influenced by the mode of passion. You are always very kind and gentle. You carry out the orders of Lord Krishna. O friend, O breeze from the Malaya hills, I beg you, tell me, where is my lotus-eyed Radha?" Madhu Mangal says, "Oh, speak softly." Krishna, walking, says, "O doe, the walking young vine that is the beautiful girl Radha must have passed through this forest because, O friend, I see you have accepted her as your guru and taken initiation from her in the art of playful, sweet, restless glances." Krishna sees the pomegranate tree ahead and says, "O parrot, in this part of the forest have you seen a girl with a beautiful golden complexion and eyes like the eyes of a doe? I am searching for her." Madhu Mangal says, "Friend, by repeating your question, the parrot has given you his answer." Note, Lord Krishna's statement is ambiguous and can also be interpreted to mean what Madhu Mangal said was the parrot's reply when it repeated Lord Krishna's words. "O Krishna, dressed in yellow garments, in this part of the forest you have been searching for a girl with a beautiful golden complexion and eyes like the eyes of a doe. Today I have seen her." Sukanti approaches and says, "All glories to Lord Krishna." Marumango, afraid, says, "Noble lady, why have you come here?" Sukanti says, "To hear sweet words such as the answer to your question." Marumango says, "Noble lady, you heard the answer to this question?" Sukanti says, "Not only that." Marumango asks, "What else?" Sukanti says, "I will tell Queen Rukmini what I have seen." She begins to walk. Krishna, agitated, says, "O noble Sukanti, do not trouble the queen's mind. Accept from me the boon that you will be very expert in singing and music." Sukanti says, "By the mercy of Queen Rukmini, the celestial singers and musicians of Parvati already worship my feet. What is the use of your boon to me?" Krishna says, "Then you make a request. What would you like?" Sukanti says, "My lord, I have one request." Krishna says, "Say what you would like." Sukanti says, "A certain Vidyadhari whom I worship wishes to see a painting on the wall of a dark mountain cave. I beg that Lord Krishna show his kindness by illuminating that picture with the effulgence of his Kastuba jewel." Krishna smiles and begins to walk and says, "Friend Kastuba, O king of jewels, well done, well done. Even without my asking, you have fulfilled my desire." Marumango says, "Aha, in the middle of this cave, it is as bright as midday." Radha enters. Radha, looking at herself, says, "Why did Madhavi send me Queen Rukmini's clothes?" Radha walks and then sees Krishna. "This little suffery fish wished only a small handful of water. Still, this new cloud voluntarily showers it with monsoon rains." Marumango, aside, says, "Oh, friend, because of a wicked maidservant's daughter, that girl that lives in the forest, I have fallen into a great danger." Krishna asks, "Friend, what danger?" Marumango, angry, says, "You ask me. Look to your left." Krishna looks and then becomes agitated. "How did Queen Rukmini come here?" Radha, aside, says, "Alas, alas, Queen Rukmini has entered the cave." She hides. Krishna, aside, says, "Intense jealous anger made her hide." Marumango whispers, "Wretched Kinnari, is it right to trick your dear friend Krishna in this way?" Sukanti, aside, says, "Seeing Satyabhama dressed in Queen Rukmini's garments and ornaments, Krishna thought she was Rukmini and became afraid. I will go and tell this to her." She approaches Radha and says to her, "My lady, the truth of what just now happened is this," and then she tells her. Radha smiles and says, "Tease Marumango." Sukanti walks and says, "O noble Marumango, Queen Rukmini is very angry now. In her anger, she said something about you." Marumango says, "What is that?" Sukanti says, "She said, this so-called Brahmin Marumango dared enter the inner rooms of the palace. For this reason, I will now bind him with ropes and put him in prison." Marumango, frightened, says, "Oh, friend, now you have become grave and silent as a pillar." Krishna says, "Friend, I am struck with wonder because this nice girl has abandoned her natural gentleness." He reflects and says, "A naturally gentle person may sometimes become angry. Even the all-tolerating earth may sometimes give up its tolerance and become agitated." Sukanti, aside, says, "What is the use of this arrogance before Lord Krishna? I will tell him the truth." Openly, she says, "Oh, noble girl, the girl was Satyabhama, who was not Queen Rukmini." Marumango says, "The words you have heard from this foul-mouthed girl are the ultimate in sarcasm." Krishna says, "Sukanti, because Queen Rukmini loves you so dearly, you are now glowing with pride. Why are these words you have spoken so poor in sense?" Marumangala in Sanskrit says, "O low-class, hard-hearted girl, you have a voice of poison. Why are you called Sukanti, sweet-voiced? Perhaps you were deliberately misnamed, as when something horrible is sarcastically called auspicious." Krishna walks and tries to pacify Radha. "O queen, please be kind to me. Please be kind." Radha smiles and says, "I am not a goddess. Look, I am a human girl." Note the word Devi means both queen and goddess. Thinking that Radha was Queen Rukmini, Krishna addressed her as Devi, meaning O queen. When Radha did not accept the address queen, but interpreted the word Devi to mean goddess, Krishna could immediately understand that she was Radha and not Queen Rukmini. Krishna, being happy, said, "Sukanti, I'm not able to give you a sufficient reward for this favor." Madhumangal said, "You low-class horse-mouth girl, did you learn this crooked art of deceiving others from Devarshi Narada?" Krishna said, "Beloved, come here and look at this picture." Radha said, "This is the artistic skill of Navarvinda's teacher Vishvakarma." They both enter the cave. Navarvinda says, "Friend, look at this wonderful picture. Here, one after another, are the beautiful pastimes of Mathura Mandala." Madhumangal says, "First is the festival of Nandotsava. That is Krishna's birthday celebration." Navarvinda says, "By throwing fresh butter in the Nanda Mahotsava festival, the bodies of the coward people attained a glistening luster, and by gazing at the wonderful child Krishna, their hearts were filled with love." Note, the word sneha is used here to mean both glistening with oil and love. The bodies, bahi, of the coward people were sneha in the first sense, and their hearts, anta, were sneha in the second sense. Pointing with her forefinger, Navarvinda says, "What pure-hearted saint is able to attain the same fate as the witch Putana? Lord Krishna became like a sapphire necklace on her throat." Krishna said, "When I broke the pot-laden cart with my flower-petal toe, mother and father in the courtyard nearby became overwhelmed with anxiety. I always remember them in that way." Navarvinda says, "This is the dance of the Trinavarta whirlwind." Krishna says, "The wicked whirlwind demon cruelly covered the eyes and hearts of my friends in Braj with the blinding darkness." Madhumangal says, "Here, Yashoda Devi, the queen of Gokula, begins to personally churn butter." Radha says, "O queen of Gokula, I offer my respects to you." Krishna, with pathos, says, "My childhood mischief made my loving mother very anxious. When I see her in this way, my heart becomes like a pool of melted butter." Navarvinda speaks, "My guru, Vishvakarma, composed the following verse. O Yashoda Devi, O queen of Braj, the same all-powerful Krishna who binds the demigod Brahma and all other living entities in the three worlds with the three unbreakable ropes of the modes of nature, you are bound with a few slender ropes. How can I describe the great power you possess?" Madhumangal says, "This is the breaking of the twin Arjuna trees." Navarvinda says, "Why did the two Guyaka demigods leave without untying Krishna from the mortar?" Krishna, with tears, says, "My mother tightly bound me with a strong rope of maternal love. Although I can release all living entities from the bonds of repeated birth and death, still I have no power to untie my mother's ropes. If I have no power, what can be said of the power of others to untie these ropes?" Navarvinda says, "You are the giver of amrita nectar to the vatsas, calves. It is proper, therefore, that you give amrita, liberation, to a vatsa, vatsasura. Why then are you both the mitrabaka, protector of your friends, and amitrabaka, and not mitrabaka, amitrabaka?" Krishna, glancing at Radha, says, "I used to spend my days in a great festival of herding the calves with my coward friends on the Jamuna's shore. O moon-faced girl, my heart yearns to enjoy those days again." Navarvinda says, "For our own benefit, again and again we bow down before the lotus feet of the Surabhi cows and gopis. Even though he is the master of an ocean of milk, Krishna became greedy to drink the sweet milk of love in their hearts. He happily accepted the position of their son." Krishna says, "Here you may gaze on the dead body of the serpent Aga, which is like a great mountain cave that is a playground for the coward boys. Even though the serpent is dead, the air still enters its mouth and inflates it, making it seem alive." Navarvinda says, "Look, look! With the best verses of the four Vedas coming from his four mouths, the demigod Brahma offers prayers to his father Krishna, whom all living entities yearn to see with their own eyes." Madhumangal says, "By looking at this fragrant Talavan forest, I feel like a man brought back to life." Navarvinda, looking at Balaram, says, "You are certainly very extraordinary. Although you are the protector of the Dhenu's cows, Still, you killed Dhenukasura, and although the sole of your foot bears the mark of a palm tree, still you took pleasure in breaking the palm trees of Talavan. Krishna says, this is the sacrificial altar under a banyan tree. Displaying his great prowess, noble Balaram killed the sacrificial animal named Palambasura on this altar. Navarvinda aside says, I think, understanding how Radha would suffer to see it, the demigod Vishvakarma did not portray the pastime of subduing Kaliya. Krishna says, O girl with a beautiful voice, this is the forest of tall munja grasses. In this place, the tips of the grasses one time became suddenly lit by the flames of a forest fire. Seeing this, the coward boys pathetically huddled around me, appearing like a garland of lotus flowers I wore at that moment. Navarvinda says, this is the place where Krishna stole the gopis' garments. Krishna says, beloved, who is this girl standing beside Vishakha and placing folded hands over her head? I do not recognize her. Radha, embarrassed, says to herself, he knows it is me in the picture. He is teasing me. Openly, she says, oh, she is Padma. Krishna says, oh, lotus-eyed girl, who is on Padma's left? Radha, with jealous anger, says, why must you show off in this way? Krishna says, when I said, O beautiful girls, please place both hands over your heads and take back your garments, you stared at me with crooked eyes, your lips trembling, you smiled slightly, you knitted your eyebrows, and you cried, I remember your face. Radha said, why are these women carrying earthen pots on their heads? Navarvinda says, they must be the wives of the brahmanas who perform sacrifices. Krishna says, I threw my naturally charming, gentle smile far away, and I carefully concealed the waves of restless glances in my eyes. Still, the wives of the brahmanas burned in a smoke-filled fire of love for me. Madhumangal, feeling hunger, says in Sanskrit, dear friend, do you remember how we ate many kinds of foods offered by the wives of the brahmanas? We ate many jalebis curling like peacock feathers. Navarvinda says, look, this is the lifting of Govardhan Hill. Radha in Sanskrit says, the hearts of all the gopis burned with pain in the thought that Krishna was carrying the heavy burden of Govardhan Hill, and at the same time, they became filled with the great festival of happiness by seeing their beloved Krishna day or night. In this way, two contradictory emotions were simultaneously present in the gopis' hearts. Navarvinda says, a verse is written on the mountain wall. It says Krishna's shyness was manifested when he lifted Govardhan Hill by the little finger of his left hand. All the gopis were observing Krishna's wonderful achievement, and Krishna was also smiling at seeing the gopis. When Krishna's glance went over the breasts of the gopis, his hand began to shake. And upon seeing his hand shake, all the coward men underneath the hill became a little disturbed. Then there was a tumultuous roaring sound, and they all began to pray to Krishna for safety. At this time, Lord Balaram was smiling, thinking that these coward men had been frightened by the shaking of Govardhan Hill. But seeing Balaram smile, Krishna thought that Balaram had understood his mind in observing the breasts of the gopis, and he immediately became bashful. Krishna, glancing at the cave of Govardhan Hill, the king of the mountains, smiles and says, O lotus-eyed girl, do you remember the wonderful pastime when by cheating I defeated you in the gambling match and you gave me the prize of two embraces you had wagered before the witnesses of all your gopi friends? Radha says, looking ahead and becoming embarrassed, in this picture, why do we not wear necklaces as we sit on the summit of Govardhan Hill? Krishna says, have you forgotten? O friend, after enjoying many amorous pastimes, we fell asleep in a grove by the shore of your lake, Radhakund. As we slept, Lalita carefully removed our necklaces. Navarvinda says, from the bonds of repeated birth and death, you rescue even your enemies. If only they have the opportunity to see you directly, why then should it be considered surprising that you rescued Nanda Maharaj from the bonds of Varuna? Pointing ahead, she says, on this earth planet, the best place is Bhartavarsha. In Bhartavarsha, the best district is Mathurapuri. In Mathurapuri, the best place is Vrindavan Forest. In Vrindavan Forest, the best place is along the shore of the Yamuna. On the shore of the Yamuna, the best place is the arena of the Rasa Dance. The Rasa Dance arena is filled with dust that touched the two lotus feet of Lord Krishna, the lover of the gopis. The great sage Narada worships those particles of dust with all his heart. Radha, struck with wonder, says, Oh, I can hear the sweetness that is the sound of the flute. Overwhelmed with bliss, she takes a few steps and then becomes mad. Mother, I hear the flute in the forest. It enchants the entire world. My heart is trembling. I will leave now. Even if you carefully latch the door with a great bolt, how will you block the path I take to make my life breath leave this body? She then becomes overwhelmed. Krishna, agitated, says, Ah, by entering the pathway of our ears, the two syllables, Rasa, plunge our hearts in the ocean of amorous pastimes and make our heads spin in the whirlpool of transcendental bliss. Navarinda says, Friend, although this is only a picture, for you it is the real Rasa dance. Radha says, Aha, what picture is this? Krishna says, O Radha, do you remember those autumn nights, which pass like a moment in the forest gardens? Our ever-fresh amorous pastimes overwhelmed you with a pleasure that chased away all your shyness. He trembles and says, We spent so many days enjoying a great festival of pastimes with your friends in the gardens by the Yamuna. O Radha, will those incomparably happy days ever come again? Navarinda says, This is a beautiful picture of the Ambikavana forest, where Sudarshan attained the mercy of Lord Krishna, who released him from the body of a great serpent and gave him the body of a demigod decorated with splendid earrings. Madhumangal says, This is Sankachuda. Radha, frightened, says, Save me! Save me! And she embraces Krishna. Krishna, enjoying the embrace, says, Well done, brother Sankachuda. Even though I violently killed you, you still arranged this unprecedented pleasure for me. Navarinda says, Look! When Aristasura playfully shook his head, Shiva became frightened and hid his own bull Nandi in a cave on Mount Mandara. Look at this wonderful event. Lord Krishna playfully killed the bull demon Arista. Again pointing, Navarinda says, How wonderful! On the shoulders of the lotus-eyed gopis, your arm became like a blue lotus flower, although it also became like a thunderbolt to break apart the demon Keshi. Krishna says, Here the goddess of liberation accepted Vyomasura as her husband. Madhumangal says, This is Akrura. He is interrupted in the middle of his words. Radha says, Ah, what will I do? And then she faints. Krishna, with respect, fear, and haste, embraces her and says, O delicate one, don't be unhappy. It's only a picture. Radha, controlling her feelings, says, Ah, the suffering I felt. Though it's only a picture, it brings me pain. Navarinda says, This is the journey to Mathura. Krishna says, Navarinda, let us stop looking at this picture of Akrura's journey. Let us look at the wonderful beauty of the next picture. When the painful crying of my beloved walks on the pathway of my memory, my heart breaks. Navarinda says, To the Supreme Personality of Godhead who killed Kansa's washerman, who blessed the weaver, and who accepted a garland from his dear devotee, the florist Sudama, I offer my respectful obeisances. Krishna smiles and says, Beloved, look at the red betel nuts. I am both pleased and stained red by them. Note the word Ranjitaha means either reddened or pleased. Ubayataha means in both ways. Krishna here says that he is Ranjitaha in both ways. Radha says, Why did you skip this picture? Krishna aside says, Why was I not able to hide this picture? Now she was looking at the servant girl Kubja. Radha says, Navarinda, who is this girl tugging at the edge of Krishna's yellow garment in the middle of the royal road? Navarinda smiles and bows her face down. Krishna smiles and says, This is a very intelligent messenger girl. She is very affectionate to you. Even though you did not send her, she tugs at my garment and begs me to return to Braja. Radha says, The universes are filled with your glories. What can you hide from me? Navarinda says, Look, thinking the Lord's service their first duty, the bumblebees leave the great regal elephant Kuvalyapita, who fed them with a flood of dana, and they worship Krishna's flower garland. Aha, look! Although the dark rain cloud of Krishna removes the painful heat of the summer's day, it also frightens the swans that are the wrestlers of Kamsa. Although this cloud brings life to the entire world, it does not bring any good to Kamsa. Radha asks, who is this person Krishna dragged by the hair from the throne? Navarinda says, he is a wicked king. Radha, happy, says, this pleases me very much. This is very good. Krishna says, there are no longer any shadows. The first part of the evening must now be over. Let us go to the shore of the Yamuna. And everyone leaves the cave. Krishna says, nearby is the pedestal where my statue stood, and near that is the forest cottage between a mango tree and a tamal tree. That cottage is the ideal place for our pastimes. He looks to the left, and he says, reflected in the water of Yamuna, in the shore paved with rubies, and in the Kastuba jewel, your face, O moon-faced girl, has made a host of moons suddenly appear in this forest place. Note, the use of the word Chandravali in this verse augurs the appearance of Chandravali in the next moment. Then, accompanied by Madhavi, Chandravali enters. Chandravali says, Madhavi, I am overwhelmed by the suffering of being separated from Lord Krishna. Now I have entered Vrindavan forest. All I can do now is gaze at the sapphire statue of Krishna. I have no other recourse. Madhavi says, Princess, I have heard, although Lord Krishna began his journey at an auspicious moment, he has not yet left this planet for Brahmaloka. He is still here, somewhere in this place. Chandravali says, Friend, you speak the truth. His fragrance is here. He must be here. Krishna says, approaching the entrance to the forest grove, Beloved, come quickly. In a moment we will taste the happiness of rest. Navavrinda, speaking aside, says, Why is Radha suddenly overcome by the jealous anger of love? She knits her eyebrows, bows her head, and hides behind this mango tree. Chandravali, eagerly craning her neck, says, Ah, look, look, my noble husband is at the door of this forest cottage. Krishna says, In this garden I will now enjoy pastimes without any fear. Queen Rukmini, the daughter of the king of Vidarbha, is far away in Dwarka City. Chandravali says, Madhavi, he must have seen me. He said, Rukmini, the daughter of the king of Vidarbha. Madhavi says, You are hiding in the vines. How can he see you? He yearns to be with you. At this moment, he must be gazing at you in a meditative trance. Slip up to him unobserved. Surprise him and give him some happiness. Krishna says, Is it not proper that this splendid golden necklace rest like a new vine around my neck and heart? Note, if the word tarala is interpreted to mean restless, aloka to mean glances, mayi to mean considering of, guna to mean qualities, and rukmini to mean the golden complexioned girl, then the verse may be interpreted in the following way. Is it not proper that the restless-eyed, virtuous, golden-complexioned Radha rests like a golden vine around my neck and heart? If the word Rukmini is interpreted to mean Queen Rukmini, then the verse may be interpreted in this way. Is it not proper that restless-eyed, virtuous, golden-complexioned Rukmini rests like a golden vine around my neck and heart? Chandravali approaches Krishna, gazes at him from the corner of her eye, and then stands before him. Krishna, with joy and wonder, says, Ah, you hid behind that mango tree. How did you come from behind the roots of this tamal tree? Chandravali sees the face of Navavrinda and becomes frightened. Navavrinda says, My lord, Queen Rukmini is now standing before you. Note, if the word divyati is interpreted to mean plays, then these words may be interpreted in this way. My lord, this is Radha pretending to be Queen Rukmini. Here, Navavrinda intends the first meaning, and Krishna interprets her words in the second way. Krishna says, Navavrinda, not only is she dressed like her, but also she is silent and grave, just as she is. Chandravali aside says, These words make me very suspicious. Krishna looks at Navavrinda and says, To me, why does Satyabhama, the words only half spoken, and Navavrinda closes her eyes? Chandravali sadly in a low whisper says, "Ah, now I know the depth of his love." Krishna, looking at her, says to himself, "Ah, is this Queen Rukmini? It is. I will try to cover what I said." Openly he says, "Why is the chaste and gentle-hearted Queen Rukmini displeased with me now? Unaware of the reason, my heart is filled with pain." Chandravali says, "Madhavi, where are you now?" Madhavi approaches and says, "Here I am." Krishna, frightened, says to himself, "O young mango tree, please spread your body very wide so Rukmini will not see the beautiful girl hiding behind you." Madhavi says, "Princess, look at your double at the root of this mango tree." Chandravali, looking at her with crooked eyes, says, "You are right." She bows her head in embarrassment. Krishna, aside, says, "My friend, the mango tree does not help. So be it. I will enlist deception into my cause." Openly, he says, "Lift up your face with its dancing eyes. The moon in the sky is embarrassed when he sees your face. When I see you are wilting before me, I become racked with pain. You are more dear to me than my own life." Madhavi says, "My lord, you should know it's not proper for you to speak to this girl with these soft words of love. After all, she is not Satyabhama." Note, if the word Satya is interpreted to mean real, instead of being a shortened form of Satyabhama's name, then these words may be interpreted in the following way. "My lord, you should know it's not proper for you to speak to this girl with these soft words of love. After all, this girl is not real." Here Madhavi intends the first meaning, and Lord Krishna interprets the words in the second way. Krishna says, "Well done, Madhavi, well done. You have now dispelled the fear in my heart. This Queen Rukmini is merely an illusion created by the magician Navarbrinda. The real girl is sitting at the root of this mango tree." He reverentially approaches the mango tree and speaks the following words of consolation. "Washed by the flood of the nectar of kindness in your heart, you have left the palace and come here of your own accord. O Rukmini, O daughter of the king of Kundina, why so suddenly and for no reason have you become so angry with me?" Navarbrinda says, "My lord, Queen Rukmini stands by Madhavi's side." Krishna says, "Navarbrinda, then is this girl under the mango tree the illusion?" Navarbrinda says, "She is not an illusion. She is a friend of Queen Rukmini. Her name is Satyabhama." Krishna says, "Ah, how great are the flooding streams of Queen Rukmini's kindness. She is so kind that she gives to her friends the nectar of possessing a form as beautiful as her own. I am bewildered to see such kindness." Radha, aside, says, "My only recourse is to leave." Accompanied by Navarbrinda, she exits. Chandravali says, with a sarcastic smile, "Madhavi, as I gaze at Lord Krishna's lips dark as black mascara, splendidly red as a newly blossomed flower, and beautiful as bimba fruits, I become filled with joy." Note, Chandravali hints that Krishna's lips have become marked with mascara by kissing Radha's eyes in their amorous pastimes. Krishna says, "Queen Rukmini, don't be suspicious. My lips are blackened from smelling black musk from Govardhan Hill." Chandravali says, "My lord, I have carefully studied this subject since early childhood. Why take so much trouble to teach me?" Madhavi says, "Princess, the time for worshipping the demigods is now passing. We must now go. Please ask the king of Dwarka to forgive us for leaving so soon." Krishna says, "Madhavi, you are strange. Although your heart is free from guile, your actions are not at all like those of a respectable girl." Note, if the word Jimogi is interpreted to mean snake, and the word Nakulinam is considered to be a single word, Nakulinam, a mongoose, this statement of Lord Krishna may be interpreted in the following way. "Madhavi, you are strange. Although your heart is like the heart of a snake, your actions are like the actions of a mongoose." The snake and mongoose are bitter enemies. Both, however, are extremely ferocious. Krishna folds his hands in prayer and says, O Queen, more dear to me than my own life, please be kind. The darkness of Rahu cannot touch the moon. O Chandravali, how can the darkness of anger touch you? Madhavi says, what is the need of speaking so many nice words? After all, this girl is not Satyabhama. Krishna says, friend, you speak the truth. Queen Rukmini is not an angry person at all. Note, in the previous text, Madhavi said that Rukmini is not Satyabhama. Krishna interprets the word Satyabhama here not as a personal name, but as an adjective describing Rukmini. Satya means nature, and Bhama means angry or passionate. Krishna here affirms that Rukmini is not Satyabhama, that is, angry by nature. Chandravali says, my lord, seeing your reluctance makes me sad at heart. Please become happy. You may now enjoy your pastimes without any fear. Now I will go to the inner rooms of the palace. Accompanied by her friend, she exits. Krishna says, Queen Rukmini has gone to the palace. Let us also go. Casting millions of waves of sidelong glances at my face, her face pale and her voice silent as she saw that her pastimes with me would be interrupted, and bowing her head and hiding her transcendental form behind a mango tree when she saw Queen Rukmini, Radha has entered my heart. He then exits, and everyone exits.
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.